The Kappa J Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago! City of Chicago, the awesome Connor McKnight in for my guy Hoodie, who's on vacation. 312-332-3776. Trade deadline has now come and gone. Bears move Roquan Smith out, and they bring back Chase Claypool. So 9 games of Roquan, who's then a free agent, for a year and a half of Chase Claypool. And you still have the other fifth-round pick. Sounds like a pretty good deal to me because you weren't going to pay Roquan, right?
Yeah. I mean, you weren't going to. You don't pay off-ball linebackers that way when you're in the midst of a rebuild. Plus, Roquan demanded a trade before the season. I mean, you've seen the quotes. You know, and we listened to Waddle and Sylvie yesterday with Ryan Poles. He was upset that they couldn't get, you know, he couldn't find a midway point on a contract for Roquan Smith. I think I believe that, but at the same time, once you can't hit that midway point, you got to move on. That's the business.
Yeah, and you move. Look, I've heard there were other things more than just money. I heard they had a fairly heated confrontation, that Roquan felt disrespected by the Bears' offer, and it once he did the hold in and then had a nasty confrontation with Ryan Poles. That's why you hire an agent. It got out of control, and that was it, period. That was it. Let's go to the phones. Our guy, Joey G. He resides in Melrose Park, and he is a regular caller to the show. Joseph, good morning.
Number one, Eddie, if you're still listening, Justin Fields will be the next Randall Cunningham or Michael Vick. Number two, that's you don't fine. Call Cap and downbeat the Bears. Number three, Cap, I love you. Connor, nice meeting you. Number four, I love the trade. Claypool's a physical specimen. He can go over the middle. He's got speed. This is going to help Justin again with his passing game. Number four.
Five.
I love you guys. I'm sorry.
You're
I
the
skipped
best.
One. Five. Do you know what happened, Cap?
Go ahead.
Hoodie left without me.
He did. He was supposed to take you with him.
Unbelievable. Anyways, since the season to be jolly.
Tis the season to be jolly. You have an awesome day, man.
You too. All right. Love you, pal.
Love you. That's our guy, Joey G in Melrose Park.
Cap, that was one of the cleanest and most Chicago da Bears ever uttered. Did you catch that?
Yes.
Right? I think it was number two. It might have been the third number three.
Yes.
But that was
we lost
the
count.
Cleanest. Most iconic, like that is the Chicago accent, the best,
yes.
Just right and, there in the middle.
And like Charlie at the controls, like that's got to be a drop.
Clip it.
Yep. Clip it. That's our guy.
Clip it.
We have some other Joey in there. Shay knows where it's at.
I'm flabbergasted.
Yes. That dude is so great.
He sounds like an Italian beef.
He and I are going to go eat Italian beef. When I finally.
You got to.
I still want to lose like another like 8 pounds. When I get to that number, and I'm terrified because my wife makes like 35 different kinds of cookies and makes trays for all her employees for the holidays.
Oh.
And I mean, I literally just graze through the kitchen. Well, I can't do that anymore. I can't. So I'm trying to get my number. I want to like another 8 pounds, and then I'll be like, all right, Joey, let's go eat an Italian beef.
Are you a grazer? Is that your weakness? It's the grazer, because that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at. My worst is when his stuff just out, and I've got the ability to graze through and pick and just kind of go back and forth and back and forth. I got the graze.
Yeah, like I'm married to Emeril Lagasse of the baking world. She's like, like she could do this for a living. That's how good she is. And like I'll come in the house. We have a healthy dinner. Last night I made some grilled chicken and some grilled shrimp. I did in a skillet with some olive oil. It was delicious. And some vegetables. We're all good. And then if she's like, if I come home and she's in the middle of baking, which that will start right after Thanksgiving.
Yep.
And there'll be just sheets of cookies everywhere. I don't like that one, but yeah, that. Oh my God, you made my favorite chocolate chippers with this and that. Like, I'll put a game on. She's busy. Me and the dogs will be sitting in there, and I'll just let me have two. Give me one more. Oh, you made those two? Let me try that one. Yeah, it's like next thing you know, you've had 20 cookies, and you're like, I just gained 4 pounds. What am I doing?
Felt like nothing. It was like 10 minutes. I was back and forth twice. I was up and down the graze line twice.
I did that yesterday too, Connor. I was walking. We have like roasted almonds in the house right now. We have some antipasto some other stuff sitting around. Like we did a charcuterie board, so we have charcuterie meats all over the place. And I'm going into the fridge and I get like a handful of roasted almonds, and then I go grab a couple slices of salami, and then I'm eating whatever else is left over around the house. It's awful.
Yeah,
it is. That's when you've got the charcuterie board fixing, Shay, and you're making your own little bites while the fridge, you get your hands in the fridge, right? So the fridge door is like that half popped open kind of thing, and you're trying to speed up making the Serrano ham and the cheese and the cracker thing real quick, and then close the fridge before anybody sees you do it, so no one's the wiser. That's when you know you've got a little bit of a problem.
See, I do the full Tony Soprano, where you just door is wide open, you got the bag in your hand, basking in the refrigerator glow while you just eat pieces of charcuterie meat.
Yeah,
that's the full Tony Soprano for me.
You're down there in the bottom shelf, your ass is sticking out of the fridge, just like, hey, this is where I'm at. I'm shopping in the bottom shelf. I'm going to find some meats. Some dried
hanging out of
meats.
My robe.
I always find myself just eating handfuls of shredded cheese.
Yeah.
Yes.
I do that too. Just sitting in the refrigerator like.
And there's an ice cream. I want to bet with Lance McAllister, who broadcasts for the Reds. Every year we bet better record, Cubs Reds. And so this year I didn't have to spot him any games. He didn't have to spot me any because we're both bad teams. So if he wins, my wife has to ship him like the entire Taste of Chicago menu from Lou Malnati's, pizzas and beef and hot dogs and cheesecake from Eli. If I win, I don't want that awful Skyline chili, so he sends me a case of Grater's ice cream.
Oh, Grater's.
Yeah. He sent me the link. It's insane. So I went online and I picked out the flavors, and then I texted him, here's the flavor. Dude, they have one called Bearcat. Like, it's based on the Cincinnati Bearcats. It's like my weakness. It's got chocolate and cherry and vanilla in it. And it is it's like pieces of cherry, chunks of chocolate, vanilla ice cream, and their ice cream is insane. So I opened it up. I put it in the microwave for like 20 seconds just to make it a little softer. And I got a spoon. And my wife's like, hey, don't eat out of the container. I want some of that. And I went, nope, because this one's all mine. Yes. So it's still in there. I haven't crushed it yet. But, yeah, I just keep putting the spoon back in every time. It kills.
All right, we have wandered right into two areas of expertise for me. There's two things here. One, when you're eating handfuls, Charlie and Shay, of shredded cheese out the bag, you got to make sure, and I'm sure you guys know this as practice shredded cheese eaters, you got to make sure that you've got the right pressure on that grip in the bag. Because as you lift that chunk of shredded cheese out of the bag and go straight into the mouth, like you know you do, you lose cheese strands. And you can't leave a trail, otherwise they know you've been in there. So make sure, you know, and if you're into this, if you're just starting, handfuls of shredded cheese out the bag, this is a good idea. make sure you're covering up the trail, right? I mean, this is key. I'm sure you've learned this.
Well, I have a dog, so I have an assistant.
Oh, he helps that. Me. You've got an accomplice.
The strands of cheese that hit the floor just become his treats.
Correct.
You've got a heist partner is what you've got. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And the other thing, Cap, you got to be careful with the graters. Have you had the black raspberry chocolate chip one yet?
Yes. They have a black cherry, which I prefer cherry over raspberry, but I like them both. Okay. Yes, I've had them. That's their signature flavor.
It's the black raspberry chocolate. I grew up on that stuff. I've got family in Cincinnati. You got to make sure though when you're eating it alongside when you're sharing, are you a mine the chocolate chip guy or you got to take an even bite no matter where you're coming out of? There's two philosophies on this.
So you mean when I put the spoon in, am I trying to get more chocolate?
That's right. That's right. Or you just take the spoon you get.
No.
Let fate decide.
I tear through it to get more chocolate.
Hell yes.
100%.
And don't apologize for it either.
Nope. Absolutely correct. Absolutely. All right, back to the phones. Rick's on the south side. Hey, Rick, what's up?
Oh, man, I was just listening to the calls, and I'm just tripping out. It seems that we've gone in Chicago, and I mean, one caller said a long time ago, we can't have nice things. We've gone from a town of Trubisky truthers to Justin Fields trashers. The Trubisky truthers couldn't see that, hey, this guy didn't have it. And the Justin Fields trashers cannot see, hey, this guy is doing special things. And while I was waiting on the phone, I thought of one time. I projected in my mind. Can you remember Patrick Mahomes' last Super Bowl, the one he lost, right?
Yeah, to Tampa Bay.
Yeah. You remember how that that defensive line was trashing his line?
Yep.
That's Justin Fields every week. And when I projected in my imagination, Fields might have done something in that situation because that's his life. Welcome to his life. And so what he's done behind a trash offensive line, at least for blast blocking, that ought to give you hope when the greatest Mahomes couldn't do anything in a similar situation. That's my call, and I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate you. Have a great rest of your day. I can't put Justin at Patrick Mahomes' level, but I get his point. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, it's a rare quarterback that can make a living while your offensive line is allowing a defensive player to live on your back for an entire 60 minutes. Like, it's hard to do, right? I mean, it's why you blitz. It's why you have to get contact on Tom Brady back in the 2000s. Like, that's 101. That's a really difficult place to live. And the Bears are asking Justin to do exactly that pretty much all season long because they have to, because they're in that rebuild, right? I mean, I think evaluating Justin Fields is probably the most difficult but most important thing of this Bears season, period. End of story.
Yes. 312-332-3776. We'll go to talk to Justin and to Andrew and to the rest of you. What did you think of the trade deadline moves by our guy Ryan Poles, who he has a plan. Now, will the plan work? He's got to execute in the draft and in free agency, but he is sticking to his plan. What'd you think of it? Next.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and J-Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Tell your friends. We like to have fun. Connor is in for Hoodie, who's on vacation. 312-332-3776. By the way, Sean said to tell you, Connor, speaking of cookies, we were talking about cookies, get the pre-made cookie dough in little blocks, microwave them on a plate for 20 seconds, eat with a fork. It's amazing.
Saw that. Love that idea. The problem I have with buying the pre-made little cookie, they don't even back the house. I'll pop that stuff open in the bag, start breaking it off, and then I'm eating cookie dough on the walk home. Am I embarrassed about it? Yeah. Yeah, I am. A little bit.
Don't be embarrassed. Enjoy.
I'm only a little embarrassed. I do enjoy it, though.
It is delicious. 312-332-3776. So, on the Waddle and Sylvie show, Ryan Poles was on, and the guy's spoken three times in the last 2 weeks. I think that's like 3 years of Ryan Pace. It is.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is.
Ryan has admitted Pace to me. He said to me, that was a big mistake on my part.
Really?
Yes. Yes. He has admitted
okay,
that.
Okay, then. All right.
So,
so is Kevin White.
And Mitch Trubisky.
One thing Poles did say yesterday was transparency is really important to him. That's awesome. That's like one of the most refreshing quotes I've heard from a general manager in a long time.
Awesome. Awesome. So Ryan was asked by the boys, did you talk to Justin about this trade?
Yeah, I gave him a heads up on it. Obviously, you know, excited to work with him. And obviously add him to that room with guys like Mooney and EQ and Pringle, Nikhil and Bayless as well. So he's excited.
He also talked about the free agent market making it important to make this trade now.
Yeah, that definitely plays a part. You know, part of our jobs here is to not only look at right now, but down the road and take a peek. We do that early and often. You know, there is some talent in the free agent market after the season, but I thought that this was a guy that could help us. And it was something I would want to be a little bit more aggressive on. So we made that move.
Finally, he evaluated Claypool in college, which led him to be excited to acquire him.
Yeah, I did. Again, just the size, speed, and explosion combination was unique. And it's a guy that can win contested catch situations. He also is a violent blocker. He's violent after the catch. And also just the added ability to be a low 4.4 guy that can stretch the field as well. So I think he's a really good fit for some of the other guys we have in that room as well.
So that tells you why, Connor, he made this move.
Yeah, that second cut there about the free agent class coming up this next offseason is key to me here, because I think there's two things important about this trade for Chase Claypool, right? On the one hand, you've got the Pittsburgh Steelers giving up on moving a guy that they took in the second round, right? This is because the Pittsburgh Steelers took George Pickens, a wide receiver that Ryan Poles did not draft two times over in the second round, if memory serves, and made Chase Claypool essentially redundant in a Steelers offense that is itself trying to look to rebuild and regrow with Kenny Pickett as a quarterback, right?
Correct.
I think that can absolutely be true, right? And that doesn't bode well for that particular evaluation. On the other hand, you've got to get better in the wide receiver room. You've got to do that because your quarterback is the most important thing and you've got to give him weapons. I like the idea. And if the argument is, well, I think that a guy like Claypool, who's been in the league for a while, has maybe made his mistakes already and understands how to, you know, kind of mesh with this offense, if that's your evaluation, quicker, better, and hopefully for longer than a rookie George Pickens, spending that draft pick on it and not getting Kyler Gordon and not getting Jaquan Brisker, guys they might have had rated better than him in that second round anyway, then so be it. But that does mean that this is now, you know, because you've spent your second round pick on Chase Claypool as opposed to the Ravens' second round pick, the one you got for Roquan, that means it's on you. That means you've got to be right about this. It can't just be a flyer and we'll see what happens. And we took a shot at a guy and it didn't work out and that's okay. Now there's more consequence to it. And I think there's more accountability going to be put on it, depending on what the outcome ends up being.
Let's get to our guy, Justin. Hey, Justin, what's up there, Sparkles?
Hey, gentlemen, how you all doing? Connor, it's good to hear you. So I got a few points, if you could just kind of bear with me. I know you got a lot of calls, Cap. First, I am totally for the Claypool pickup. If it can translate to wins, I'm good. You know me, Cap.
Yep.
Now, I heard Connor just say about the second-round pick, so you are rolling the dice. But I'm all in. If it can translate to wins, cool. Now, I also have a point about the White Sox and the Cubs. Cap, I want your input on this too. First off, Connor, what are your general feelings on the managerial hire? And who would you have liked to see be the manager? And second, I have been hearing rumbles about Abreu possibly going to the north side. Cap, what would you think about maybe like a swap? I don't know if this will happen, but maybe trying to get Contreras on the south side and then, you know, for Brady. You know, I appreciate you all taking my call. Connor, I like your McKnight at the movies, even though half the movies sometimes I don't know. But thank you for everything, Cap, and I hope y'all have a good one.
Justin, you're the man. Have a great day, buddy. He asked my opinion on the hire. I would have hired Ozzie Guillen, period. That said, I hope that Pedro Grifol is good. Nobody knows. He's never managed. He has had a bunch of interviews, never got one of them. Anyone that says they like the hire, they have no idea. Anyone says they don't like the hire, they have no idea. He comes highly recommended. Rick and Chris Getz made this hire. Jerry and Kenny wanted Ozzie. They let Rick make the hire. Now he'll be judged by it, period.
Yeah, I think for Pedro Grifol, the key here is the reputation he's got around the league. It's a pretty good one. He's been close to a winning culture in that Kansas City Royals organization. He was on staff as both a hitting coach and a catching instructor when they went to the World Series a couple of years in the middle of the last decade. And that's probably not as close to, you know, winning culture or recent winning experience as it kind of felt like the White Sox wanted to be with this hire. Ozzie Guillen would not have been close to that, right? I mean, it sounded, you know, he's been out the game 10, 11 years. So that, I think, mattered in some of this. I think Grifol is, and this is something I like to do here, they're bringing in a first-time manager, a guy who is an excellent communicator, which is something that Rick Hahn outlined he wanted for this managerial hire from the get-go. That is Grifol's reputation in this game. He's got an established bench coach, it sounds like, if these are indeed the hires, a guy who has been in the top job before, which I like. I like that kind of backup of experience. And we'll see what happens with the rest of the coaching staff. To the rest of Justin's kind of question there, remember, Abreu is a free agent. The White Sox do not have a contract control on Abreu, so he's free to sign anywhere he wants to go. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's looking at somewhere that's a little bit closer to winning than the 2023 Chicago Cubs.
All right, we'll get into that more in a little bit. Let's go to Andrew in Springfield. Andrew, what's up, Sparky?
What's going on, guys? I wanted to kind of reverse back to the whole the Bears making the playoffs next year. I think that's a total joke. Now, you can have it. You can have expectations to have a better record, which you should. But, I mean, Connor, you talked about how the Bears have all this extra, you know, cap space and have all this stuff to throw around. There has to be players available that are worth what you're throwing around. I mean, you can't just start throwing money everywhere, kind of like what Ryan Pace was doing, and then now you're in cap hell come down, you know, 3-4 years down the road. So I don't see that. I think they'll be better, but looking at the free agent class, I am not excited about, like, maybe a couple linemen, but you're going to have to outbid people for them. So that's just kind of where I was at. I wanted to call in, put my two cents in, let you guys talk on it. Thanks.
Well, I appreciate the call, man. Look, can they get there next year? I guess you can have those 2018 pop-up seasons, as Sylvie liked to call them. I don't see them in the playoffs next year. It takes time to build through the draft, to have guys that you go, all right, we got a really good offensive line. We've got depth on the roster. You just can't address all of that. You just can't.
Well, you can't. I do think, though, that there's a difference between the way Ryan Pace spent his money and how the Bears may end up spending their money going forward, right? Didn't it feel like Pace was always trying to backfill with contracts, that the money was going to places where they had already made mistakes? That's a tough salary cap hell to dig yourself out of. In this coming free agency, while I think the guy's right that you might not have, you know, the kind of free agent depth in class that you'd like as a rebuilding team, there are, correct me if I'm wrong here, Cap, there are two offensive linemen that are under the age of 30, one of them 26 going on 27 in Orlando Brown, that are absolutely the kind of guys you strike with to build around, as opposed to use money to backfill and try and get yourself out of the decisions that, you know, bad scouting decisions that you've already made. I think it's worth noting those two things, because when Shea's talking about going from worst to first, It's going to be with money applied to places where guys will start, not just like, you know, fill in for problems that you've already created.
Well said. 312-332-3776. Okay, the White Sox have a new manager. None of us have ever even heard of the dude. Can he manage? Time will tell. But this was a Rick Hahn production. Not Kenny, not Jerry. Is that a good thing? 312-332-3776. The latest, next.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
It's a great day when Tracy Butler does a drive-by on the studio. She'll be with us on Friday. Butler loves the trade for her Steelers. She's from Pennsylvania, of course. ESPN, not so much. Connor, ESPN put out their article this morning, trade grades. What did they give the Steelers?
I'm going to guess they gave them a B+.
Steelers, A-.
Okay, well, pretty close.
What'd they give the Bears?
I'm going to go ahead and say they gave them C+.
D+.
Okay, all right.
D+.
Okay.
Wow.
I just saw this during the break. I want to read it to you real quick. It's very short. You know, Mike Sando of The Athletic, right? You know, big-time guy. Been covering the NFL for a really long time, right? Mm-hmm. He has his NFL trade deadline recap sort of thing real quick. Here's the two sentences, sentence and a half, that he came up with on the Bears sending a 2023 second-round pick to Pittsburgh for Chase Claypool. What Chicago is telling us, evaluating quarterback Justin Fields over the season's second half will be easier with another weapon, especially one as young as 24, big, 6'4", 238 pounds, and affordable, $1.5 million next season as Claypool. It felt like the Bears were giving up on the season after trading Smith and Quinn. This move adds to the gathering excitement surrounding the Bears' offense in recent weeks. Simple?
Yeah.
But pretty straightforward from a guy who knows what he's talking about.
Pretty straightforward. No question about it. 312-332-3776. So, Pedro Grifol is the new, or Grifol, is it Grifol?
I've watched a couple of YouTube videos. He was a third base coach a couple of times for Kansas City last year. Grifol.
Okay.
Grifol.
With Grifol here, we probably won't be hearing this. Come on, play. No, it won't play. I had the audio of two strikes, Tony. Like, that stuff's going to be gone.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on this hire?
So that's the big difference, right? When you hire a manager who is literally in the Hall of Fame at the time you hire him, you have all kinds of, all sorts of track record to evaluate the hire. There it is. You've got all kinds of track record to evaluate the hire on. You know how Tony is as a manager. You understand what he's done, his philosophies. He's on record for so many different things and situations and occurrences in this game, right? Like, you kind of knew how to evaluate that. With Pedro, we'll see. Obviously, the White Sox haven't announced it yet. I do think he comes with a pretty good reputation in this game. One of the things that Rick Hahn said in that end-of-season press conferences 3 days before the season actually ended was that he was looking for an exceptional communicator. And that is one thing that a lot of people have mentioned is at the top of his skill set, of Pedro's skill set. I also think that it is fair, and I think we'll probably talk about it at whatever press conference, whenever the press conference comes up with Rick and with Pedro, and I would imagine others, maybe Chris Getz, we'll see. There's connective tissue between Pedro Grifol and the White Sox. Chris Getz was in that Royals organization, crossed paths with him. I believe Mike Shirley, the director of amateur scouting, spent some time with Grifol in the minor leagues for a little while. I was reading a James Fegan piece earlier. He connected the two. I think also, it's fair to ask the question, you wanted a manager of recent championship vintage or close to a championship culture. Is 2014 and 2015, is that close enough? Because that's 7 years for the Royals since they were last in the World Series. They were an organization that absolutely knew what it was like to build and extend their own, a lot like the White Sox have.
Mm-hmm.
And Grifols got a great reputation as a builder of talent and a young guy who's a great communicator. So those are all things you check off. But those aren't all of the things. And I don't think anybody was going to, you know, check all the boxes in a hire, in a managerial hire of a first-time guy. So that's kind of that next line of question too, right? You're hiring a first-time manager. Why make that choice with a team that is, as the White Sox have talked about it and as many believe, is still close to winning an AL Central and winning in the playoffs and chasing down a World Series going farther?
Okay, so my question is, if he's that good and Salvi Perez, who's one of the best catchers in the game, has come out and said, that dude's awesome. We loved him. They wanted him as the manager there.
Right.
Why has he's interviewed multiple times in multiple places. They have him in their building, and they let him walk to a division rival. Why?
I think it's a fair question to ask. I think when an organization completely remakes the front office and gets rid of Dayton Moore after, 15 years, I think it's kind of natural to want to change out everything, isn't it? I mean, if you had that entire thing on your side, why would you stay with, you know, I mean, the Cubs didn't, you know, because it's your team, the Cubs didn't clear out their entire front office. They stayed with continuity. They hired David Ross. They did that whole thing. If they'd have changed out everybody, wouldn't you be looking for voices from the outside? I mean, I think that's what the Royals are looking for, yeah?
Right. But
I think that's fair. That's where things go.
Yeah. I said this earlier to you. Anyone that says, I like this hire. No, you don't. You don't know. I hate this hire. No, you don't. You don't know. Rex Hudler was on with Chuck Garfine and Ryan McGuffey on NBC Sports Chicago last night. He's, first of all, wildly entertaining interview. That guy's awesome, Rex Hudler.
I love Rex Hudler. And he was fantastic.
Full of praise for Pedro Grifol. So we will find out if guys play well, he's going to look like a genius, and so will Rick. If guys don't, and there's a ton of injuries, people will be like, what's going on here? It's not always on the manager. It's not.
Period. Yeah, I think that's right. And I think we'll see where the rest of this coaching staff kind of shakes out. It sounds like you're going to have an established bench coach, a guy who's been there before, backing up Pedro Grifol. It sounds like Kurt Hassler and Ethan Katz, part of the pitching infrastructure, big pieces of the pitching infrastructure that have been there for a while, will remain. We'll see if there are other changes. And listen, the White Sox, too, and maybe it won't happen in the next press conference, the one that introduces Grifol, but the White Sox have also talked about either changing and or expanding their, you know, injury prevention kind of regime, right? So that's been a big part of the White Sox, or hasn't been around the White Sox enough since 2020 when you saw injuries pop up. Now, some of that's because of the pandemic and spring training and then summer camp and all that nonsense. But that matters, too. You got to keep guys healthier. Because if we're evaluating managerial hires based on how good players are, then you got to keep those players healthy so that they can be good in the first place, right?
Correct. I'm curious how willing Rick is to change up the dynamic in the room. I'm not talking about the manager. I'm talking about the players. Does he have the authority? He has the authority. What's the wrong word? Does he have the willingness to say, yeah, I'm moving on from Abreu and I'm trading, oh my God, Tim Anderson or Luis Robert. Whatever deal he feels makes them better, it's going to be a big name that gets moved then.
Yeah, you would expect it would have to be if that's the kind of shakeup that it takes to change the is culture the right word at this point? I have a tough time, Cap, I'll be honest with you. I have a tough time saying you have to change the White Sox clubhouse culture when it seems more likely than not at this point that Abreu is moving on. That is the biggest change to that clubhouse culture that you could envision for the White Sox outside of the manager, which you'd already had to change because Tony La Russa stepped aside. You know what I mean?
Yes, 100%. 312-332-3776. Danny's going to try and put money in your pocket. And then you'll hear the Cap J Hood Chicago Cut Steakhouse Cut of the Day and more. It's coming up next.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Home stretch of the Cap J Hood Show. Connor in for Hoodie, who's on vacation. I hope you're enjoying your time, my man. He's got his anniversary coming up on Friday. Connor, we've talked about the big news from yesterday in the NFL, the White Sox hire. We haven't really touched on the Bulls going into Brooklyn, roaring back and beating the Nets at Barclays Center. That Brooklyn thing is just a mess. Kyrie Irving, first of all, you have one of my favorite shows in the world, Inside the NBA. Both Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal called him on the air, called Kyrie Irving an idiot. Mm-hmm. And Charles said that he should be suspended for the anti-Semitic tweet post where he linked to an anti-Semitic movie. Then you had members of I'm not sure if it was a Hasidic Jewish community. It was part of a Jewish group that got courtside seats and wore anti-Semitism shirts. And Kyrie came over and engaged with them and said, hey, thanks for your support. People are going, they were mocking you, dude. So,
oh, man, I missed that little part. I saw the T-shirts. I missed where Kyrie went over and said thank you to the guys that were there to protest him. That's
right.
That's really something. Tells really you where that guy's head's at, doesn't it?
And then Sean Marks, who I used to think was a really bright executive for people I know that I used to work with in the league, mm-hmm. said that dude's really sharp. He'll be great. He's going to hire Ime Udoka. So let me get this right. You're keeping Kyrie Irving around. What message is that sending to people who are Jewish, who are season ticket holders, fans of your team, buy your stuff, or employees in your organization? And then you're going to hire a coach who yesterday the Boston, Shay, was it the Boston Globe or the Boston Herald that released all these text messages that said he sent inappropriate messages to multiple women in the organization. And now he's suspended for the year and you're going to be like, we don't care. We'll take him. So what kind of message are you sending to women that work for your team or are fans of your team and franchise? Nah, so what? We don't care. We just want him because we think he's smart in basketball.
It's disappointing, isn't it? I mean, isn't it just remarkably disappointing?
Remarkably disappointing is a great term.
Do you know what the problem with it is mostly to me is what are you saying to the women who work in your league?
That's what I just said.
F off.
We don't care about
Your mouth shut. Whatever happens, keep your mouth shut. F off. We're going to hire this guy anyway. It's the worst thing ever.
We don't care about him linking to an anti-Semitic movie. And we don't care about that coach sending multiple messages. Nets Daily published a story Tuesday about Steve Nash's thing and reports that they plan to replace him with Ime Udoka. ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski reported yesterday that Celtics' investigation into Udoka, which was conducted by an independent law firm, found he used crude language with a female subordinate. They also now say it appears to have involved more than one woman. He repeatedly sent inappropriate messages to women on the Celtics' front office staff. It's insane.
You would expect the league to do something at this point. Yes. I mean, this is the spot where you go, okay, the league needs to step in and act. I feel like this is the part.
Yeah, you would think, but apparently not. I just find it stunning. Absolutely stunning.
I mean, have we ever seen a team go from the theoretical super team? Like, they were fun and young with Kenny Atkinson and all the young guys. Then they became the theoretical super team, and now they're an absolute grease fire. And it happened all in 3 years.
Yeah. Yep.
Fellas, I think we may have a little bit of breaking news. Did Forbes just tweet what I think it did?
Let me look, because I follow Forbes.
Please look.
Yeah, you're talking about Washington?
I am talking about Washington. Yes. So you're seeing what I'm seeing?
Yes. Exclusive. Dan Snyder has hired Bank of America to sell the Washington Commanders.
Wow. Well, that fits right into this segment, doesn't it? Talk about franchises that need just a little bit of help. Oh, man.
There you go.
Wow.
And that was the guy who 2 weeks ago, when Jim Irsay was at the owners' meetings going, yeah, he should sell the team. And he came out, I'm never selling the team, and you don't know all the facts. 2 weeks later, you know Roger Goodell. Yellow. Dan Snyder, please. This is Dan. Roger Goodell. We're done. We're done.
Wow.
You're going to hire whoever you want. You're selling the team. Take your money and get out. Get out. There you go. So exclusive from Forbes. Dan Snyder has hired Bank of America to sell the Washington Commanders. Thank you. Here is the Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Cut of the day.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it. It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
Finally, the rain came, washed it all away, and we won. It was...
That was your Shawshank moment, man. The Rajah Davis home run is our Cubs fans crawling through the tunnel, and the rain washes it all away. You had Shawshank right there in the game.
Oh, my God.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
That is the Cap of J Hood, Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Cut of the day. If I had time today, I got to do a podcast for the Cubs content over at TV, and I got the show. I feel like going to Cut this afternoon, getting that burger. So
ooh.
Good.
Ooh. Oh, so I think you might have just put an idea in my head.
It's the best. They hand-pack the burgers. It's the best. So amazing. Anyway, Connor, you have a wonderful rest of your day. I hope your beautiful bride, who's expecting in December, is feeling well. And you guys have a great day, okay?
Thanks, Cap. Always good hanging out. And take care.
You too. Shay, Charlie, have a wonderful rest of your day. Dion's in with me tomorrow. Hood's roll back on Friday. And praise the Lord, Dan Snyder selling the Washington Commanders. Jeff Bezos on line two. Have a great day. Take that. From Chicago.